Blog Talk Radio.
I'm looking at the at 6:23 on KOBE. I'm looking at the weather right now. I'm looking at a El Paso radar. If you look up, if you Google El Paso Doppler, D-O-P-P-L-E-R or L-A-R, whatever, you can see there's a clip that will play of the current conditions, and the Doppler picks up stuff in the air. So it looks like it's raining very heavily on the border of Texas. And, it looks like it's not too far from Lordsburg. It looks like real heavy rain, but we're going to have clouds passing over us from down from El Paso and moving on up. So anyway, I don't know how often we're going to get a lightning display like last night. I mean, it was everywhere. It was on the mountains. It was towards El Paso. It was right in my neighborhood. It was up in the clouds. I mean, I saw spectacular fireworks or lightning shots that, you know, just kind of these, you know, these shots that just kind of like go across the sky, not just one stroke. All right. So anyway, here's a little bit on this. This show's a little bit random today, but we're going to come and talk to, if he shows up, Walt Rubel will be in here to talk about some local stuff. But here is 9 foot tall statue of Satan unveiled in Detroit. What do you think about this? If there was a local movement, 523-1450, a local movement to honor Satan, if there was a group of people that were devoted Satanists and they wanted to put a temple or put up a giant statue, what would you say? I mean, I think that it's kind of funny they're doing it in Detroit, which is like this failed city, you know, this city that is like a half or a third of the size it used to be, with just tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of abandoned buildings, including giant skyscrapers, including neighborhood upon neighborhood upon neighborhood. That's where they would do it. But maybe there wouldn't be a lot of community protest here, but check this out.
A devilish debut in Detroit as a group unveils a nearly 9-foot tall satanic statue. The 1-ton bronze sculpture costs more than $100,000 and features a goat head. Ticket holders were given a location where hundreds of people show up for this, including both supporters and protesters. But invitees were then given a second secret address where the statue is actually located.
Now, I've been told by somebody that there are a lot of Satan worshipers or pagan, pagan would be more accurate, but there's a lot of pagans in this area, and I don't know anything about that, but they would point to the religious practices in Mexico and the cult of the dead and all this stuff and Santeria and such, but I couldn't really say that I knew anything about that. But I did notice back in Florida, where I used to live in Miami, there was a lot of paganism. There were a couple of, I moved in this neighborhood in Little Haiti, which was an incredible place to live. But there were, within walking distance of my house, not one, but two devil shops. And as you recall, there was this statement that Pat Robertson, this religious leader from back east, Pat Robertson had said that Haiti, after the Haiti earthquake, that they kind of brought the earthquake on themselves because that they had made this pact with the devil, which I'd never heard anything about, and I researched it. And there's actual historical evidence that when these people who were slaves who were trying to fight off Napoleon, basically Napoleon was the first Hitler, when they, on the mountain, they went on up on this mountain and made this prayer and basically devoted themselves to Satan. There's a lot of the voodoo over there, you know. Voodoo is the French version, and Santeria is the Spanish version. So, an incredible story. Anyway, all right, so we've got, kind of picking through these stories, we've got a couple of calls to modify or get rid of the IRS. And Rand Paul is talking about taking 70,000 pages of the IRS code and just putting it into a paper shredder. I think he's got a little thing where he did that. And in the meantime, there is a claim that the IRS was targeting conservative groups. Check this one out.
Tonight, new calls for President Obama to fire his IRS commissioner. The House Oversight Committee is demanding IRS Commissioner Costin get the boot, and it's demanding accountability. Plus, there's stunning new information about IRS targeting of Tea Party groups coming out.
We are calling upon the president to remove the IRS commissioner from his responsibilities. Mr. Costin failed in every single duty he had. We would pursue all of our constitutional remedies that could potentially include contempt of Congress, that could potentially include impeaching the IRS commissioner himself. The targeting happened. The commissioner knows that he doesn't want to say it. The targeting is still happening.
For me to tell the people in my district that, yes, you can trust the IRS.
And you've been voting at home during On the Record. Do you think the IRS commissioner should resign, yes or no? Keep tweeting your vote using hashtag Greta, and you'll see live results on your screen in just moments.
Well, anyway, the fact of the matter is that there's a lot of anger towards the IRS commissioner and the IRS. And here's a little bit of the interview with this House Member Chavez.
Yeah, you cannot come to Congress, give false statements, and keep your job. And Congress has a duty and a responsibility to get after and hold him accountable. And that may include a variety of different remedies, but he lied to Congress.
How did he lie?
He had the documents in his possession. He said that he's done everything he could to get after him, but they destroyed them. Imagine if you had gone out to the office, but they have more than 20,000 Lois Lerner emails in their possession, and they destroyed them after there was a subpoena.
Well, at one point they said that they were asked about how many sources were recovering the IRS, the emails from Lois Lerner, and there were six different sources: hard drive, BlackBerry, backup tapes, server drives, backup tapes for the service, and Lerner laptops, and they didn't search any of them.
Yeah, the inspector general came in and found that of the six sources where they could find the Lois Lerner emails, and they didn't even look for them, didn't even ask for them. It took the inspector general 15 days to find them. It took the IRS years to come go and get them. Ends up that once they did discover that they had them, they destroyed them. You can't destroy evidence.
Well, President Obama said that he didn't think there's a smidgen of evidence to show there's a...
How did he come to that conclusion, Greta? There are five open investigations, none of which have concluded. House Ways and Means, House Oversight Committee, the Senate Finance Committee, the Department of Justice, the Inspector General, all have open investigations, and yet the president comes to the conclusion there's not even a smidgen of corruption? Explain that one to me.
Well, so that, you know, that kind of sums it up there. That's incredible, though, isn't it, that they didn't even look for it? And then it was destroyed. So anyway, the same claim is being made about Hillary, and that's my question, 523-1450. Do you think Hillary is dead in the water? They're thinking about putting a federal investigation of her failure to do the same thing here, which was to hand over emails that she had on her personal server. You're listening to AM Las Cruces on 1450 KOBE. I'm Kelly O'Connell, 523-1450, 805-6180 for your text line. We will be right back to continue on. So many stories out there. And what do you think of Trump right now? He's riding high, isn't he? Could he make it all the way? We'll be right back to discuss that.
It shines open with the wind.
Hey, it's Kelly.
Yes, this is Jeff. I'd like to make some comments earlier from what you said earlier about the Boy Scouts and Satanism and all that.
Oh, sure. Yeah. No problem, Jeff. How you doing today?
I'm doing good.
So you get any rain last night?
A lot of lightning. Not a whole lot. Not here.
Well, you know how that the rain falls in these kind of these desert storms, you know, tend a lot of times comes down in those cells, but I got a fair amount of rain myself.
Yeah, I'm quite familiar with the monsoon. It's kind of fun to have rain fall on one side of your house and not on the other.
Hopefully on the garden side.
Yeah.
So what's your conclusion about the Satan monument?
They're free to do so. The Constitution guarantees in the First Amendment the freedom of religion.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean freedom from religion, freedom of religion.
Yeah.
So, I mean, people are free to do what they will.
Yeah.
In my particular faith, there was a chaplain in the Navy that stood up for Odinists on a Navy ship.
Stood up for what?
He says for Odinists. You know who Odinists are? It's pagans. It's like Norwegian pagans.
Oh yeah, Odin. Odin, yeah, the Norwegian.
Yeah,
What religion are you?
Seventh-day Adventist.
Oh, okay, Adventist, sure.
Yeah. I was going to initially comment on the Boy Scouts, and on the news, it's been said that the Latter-day Saints may break off from the Boy Scouts. Well, the Adventists did that many, many years ago. They just felt that even the Boy Scouts, you know, there were things of it that didn't fit our religious, particular religious faith. So,
you guys made your own Boy Scouts?
Yeah, it's called Pathfinder.
There must be a lot of these kind of groups out there.
Yeah. Basically, what I would encourage Latter-day Saints, you know, go ahead, you know. You don't have to be within the Boy Scout affiliation. Our particular faith did it. And, in fact, it's co-ed.
Wait, Jeff, right?
Yes.
We're about to come on the air.
Okay.
Well, it's 7:37, and we've got Jeff on the line, and Jeff wanted to comment on the Church of Satan, their statue in the Boy Scouts of America, and the gay Scoutmasters. Jeff, you are a Seventh-day Adventist, and you feel like religious freedom is a very important thing, including these groups, right?
Yes. The First Amendment guarantees freedom of religion. Doesn't guarantee freedom from religion, but freedom of religion. And if you want to be a Satanist, you know, you have that right. Just as long as they don't try to force themselves on anybody else.
Right. But what do you? Okay, so you're a religious person. You believe in, you know, God created the earth, and you know, there's a true religion, a false religion, everything.
Yes.
What do you think about a culture, though, that is increasingly honoring Satan and that type of thing? What's your personal feeling about that?
Well, actually, you know, Scripture says that towards the end, before Christ comes, at least this is what we believe in our faith, that the rise of spiritualism will be rampant just before Christ's second return.
Yeah, okay, I gotcha.
It just matches up, you know.
Is it a good thing? Is it a good thing if this is bringing the advent of Christ, in your opinion? Is this something that you look at and say, this is good because Christ is coming? Or are you worried? What's your reaction to this? What's the Adventist reaction?
Well, I can't speak for everybody within my faith. You know, we're entitled to our own opinions, but... personally, it's just a sign of the times. No, I don't like seeing it. I wish, you know, that wouldn't happen. But, you know, we say Christ warned us about it when he gave the vision to the Apostle John in Revelation. And it's just a sign of the times, you know. As far as spiritualism, I could get you in contact with a certain website. And
what's the name of it?
Well, I'd rather not give it on the air.
Oh, yet. Okay, that's fine.
Basically, what it is, this one gentleman did some research and found out where spiritualism was, and they showed a map of the United States, and New Mexico Southwest was just the biggest red bubble you ever saw.
In terms of what? In terms of alternative religion?
In terms of spiritualism.
Okay, so we're talking native religion, right? Is that part of it?
Well, I don't know. This particular person that did the research didn't really qualify necessarily that. It had to do with his presentation on Halloween and everything.
Okay, so if you had to describe this red bubble, what is it, and what area did it encompass, and what was in it? When you talk about spiritualism, what are you talking about? But what was the bubble over New Mexico? Was it over like Cruces, El Paso, or?
Well, it was all of New Mexico and included, you know, part of Arizona off into Texas. You got to remember also in terms of Satanism and everything,
yeah,
that New Orleans is basically the Satan capital of the United States.
Which makes sense because you've got the French element there.
Right.
And I don't know about that, though. I'm not saying that I know better than you on this, but when I was living in Miami, and one day I was kind of thinking about it. So sometimes you're walking along and you see an animal that's been sacrificed, a rooster or something like that. And you're not quite in middle America anymore. And then I started thinking about all of the people. There are hundreds of thousands of people from Cuba and from Haiti in Miami. And I was thinking there's probably more pagans, what we would call pagans in Miami, than there are Christians.
Haiti, there's a lot of voodoo there.
It is incredible.
Religion.
You know, and voodoo is, and this is what do they call syncretism or whatever they, you have on the surface Catholicism, but underneath you have all of this kind of African tribal religion. But it's interesting that the big saint in voodoo is Saint Lazarus. And you see these statues of this guy standing there with holes in his leg and a dog sitting next to him, the dog that was licking the sores. It's very strange. I don't know why you would choose Lazarus as your saint. But Jeff, did you have any other points? I got to take a break here.
Just that I think that the Boy Scouts have made a big mistake. I think there'll be a lot of people exiting Boy Scouts. I grew up Boy Scout. I was an Adventist growing up, and I became Adventist. And I think Boy Scouts are making a big mistake.
Big mistake. Will there be a merit badge in sodomy?
Yeah.
There could be. Thanks for the call, Jeff. Great. Have a great day. All right, folks, got to take a little break here, but I've got an amazing fact about Boy Scouts when I come back that is going to make your jaw drop. And remember, storms never last, but great. I loved it last night. I wished it lasted forever, but anyway, with the dawn comes the new day. 6:43, 28th July. Kelly O'Connell, AM Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE, 523-1450, 805-6180. If you have an opinion on this, if you're a pagan, feel free to call in. If you're a follower of a an alternative religion, love to hear your opinion. We'll be right back.
And your hand in mine still thunder.
Hey, it's Kelly.
Hey, Kelly, Rob, how you doing?
Hey, it's Kelly.
Hey, Kelly.
Hey,
hello.
Who's this?
Hello.
Who's this?
This is Rob.
Hey, what's up, brother?
Hey, so what's it cost to sponsor your show for a day?
Are you looking for a woman?
To sponsor your show for a day.
I know. You might be doing a marriage proposal. I don't know. This could be...
Oh, no.
This could be ethically questionable, Rob. I'm looking out for you.
Uh-huh.
Hey, wait. You want to? Do you have a comment?
Yeah, I do.
It is Kelly here, 6:46. Boy, it's real nice outside, 72 degrees, maybe 75 degrees. We've got Rob on the line, but Rob, I've got some shocking news for you, but let's go ahead and give us your commentary first here.
Well, two things, actually. So you might want to go with your shocking thing or
let me make this announcement. Well, believe it or not, the guy that we're talking about whether gays should be in the Scouts. I remember reading this a long time ago. Robert Baden-Powell, very famous guy that started scouting in UK, wasn't it? As far as I know, he was a homosexual and had a very strong interest in boys. Now, I'm not saying that he was a pedophile. I'd have to do some more research to see if there was any evidence of that, but he had this real fixation. And I know that the Scouts have done tremendous good, but over the years. But it's kind of fascinating to me that we're having this debate when the founder is quite possibly gay. Anyway, so Rob, go ahead.
I heard somewhere that scouts sponsored by churches are 75% of the scouts.
Yeah, something
like
that.
Only 25% aren't churches. So, you know, that's a pretty nice big loophole for people who still are interested in, you know, the scout tradition.
Yeah, sure it is. So there are a lot of breakaway groups. And then the gentleman said the Adventists had their own group. They say people who study this type of thing, there's this debate that there's a disproportionate number of children that are abused by gay men. I would have to go back and look at the numbers again or the studies again. When you're looking into this type of a thing, there is always going to be more than one scientific claim because it's so controversial. You know, both groups are going to have their numbers and everything, but I just wonder, this, would you say the entire culture is getting homosexualized, or I mean, it's obviously becoming gay friendly. I wonder what that means for the future.
You know, I don't think the gay population is going to be any bigger percentage wise in the future than it is now.
Au contraire, Pierre.
No.
Okay, folks, when you talk over me, you get sent into timeout corner. What they found is that the natural number of gay people in the society is about 3.5%. And there's obviously a debate over nature versus nurture, genetics versus family experience. But the number of girls that are experimenting with homosexuality is something like, let's just say gay and bi, about 16% from what I've seen. And there used to be the lesbian population used to be about 1%. So what do you think of that?
Well, like you said, experimenting with, you know, I don't think it's a way of life for most of them.
Maybe not, but I mean, it depends on how you define it. I mean, this whole thing is in flux, to quote Heraclitus here. How you define homosexuality, is it this inward identity that we see it as today, or is it an activity as they saw in the ancient world? In the ancient world, there were laws. If a man did not have children, he was fined in Greece, he was fined in Rome. Now, so there was a lot of homosexual activity in the classical world, but at the end of the day, men were expected to reproduce and marry, have a family, and there was no hand-wringing over, well, I'm really gay. It's because the culture, believe it or not, we don't see it this way. We see ourselves as self-defined. The culture puts a huge imprint on us, and then we react to the cultural norms.
Yeah, there'll probably be a lot more, like you said, experimentation, but I really don't think people
Rob,
are going to embrace
Rob,
it like they're hoping.
Rob, will there be a merit badge in sodomy someday?
You know, there might be increased emphasis on not tying.
There could be. Thanks for the call, Rob, and have a good day.
I have another comment.
Briefly, please.
Don't
pull a mic here. Briefly.
You know, to be honest with you, I can't hear when you're talking. For some reason, it's a box thing, so I don't know when you're talking and not.
Well, here's. Can you hear me now?
I hear you. Yeah.
We're running out of time, and I got ads to play, so make this snappy.
So yesterday in Rush's show, I don't know if you heard it, but he was talking about how the Republicans, it's not like they're losing the fight. It's like they're not even showing up for the fight.
Agreed.
And we want to find out why that is.
This is what I think. I think the Republican Party has been so beaten down that when somebody shows up to stand up for their ideas, their supposed values, like Trump, they freak out and begin attacking him. It is the worst case of Stockholm syndrome I've ever seen. Thanks for the call, Rob. Folks, if you call in and don't make your point, you're always free to call back unless your name's Mike. And then let's try to keep that down to 7 or 8 times. But anyway, maybe Rob will call back after the break. But here's the point. The Republicans, Stockholm syndrome is when you're taken hostage you at some point begin to identify with your hostage taker, probably in some sort of a survival attempt. And a very famous example of that was Hearst, the girl taken by the Hearst. I guess Hearst is a car for dead bodies, but Hearst joined the Symbionese Liberation Army. Anyway, it's 6:50 through. We're going to come back. I think that Walt Rubel is coming on, but we'll find out. Anyway, 6:53, and going to be right back and just end it with a few of these ideas.
Water shine. You follow.
All right, so here's something that I found interesting, and by the way, it's 6:56. Wouldn't it be fascinating if, and this just occurred to me a few minutes ago, wouldn't it be fascinating if we're having this huge war over homosexuality in the Boy Scouts, or I guess the war is over, the after the Supreme Court has ratified gay marriage, then everything else filters down, and this is one of the reasons that I think it's best for the court not to take up these extraordinarily passionate and divisive issues, but allow them to be worked out state by state. That's our model, federalism. You might say, well, one's got a right to an abortion. Really? What if every woman had an abortion? Here's another thing that the human race would see. Would you then say they have a right to abortion? I was thinking last night, the last couple of days, looking at this gay marriage thing from different angles. Do you think, what percentage of people out there think that when you're saying that there's a right to gay marriage, which the Supreme Court is now has now backed, do you think, therefore, that God accepts gay marriage? You see where I'm going with this? What is marriage to begin with, and does God take notice of, does he accept gay marriage? I mean, if you don't believe in God, it's a moot point. But I thought it was kind of an interesting thing. And here's another thing that I threw out for abortion. I asked some, sometimes you're like debating people and an idea pops in your mind. That's why I think debate is a very important thing. And so when people try to stop debate, I really look down at that, because let's have the discussions and find out where the truth is. But would you support a young unmarried girl getting an abortion? Of course, most people who are at all interested in abortion would agree to that. Would you, therefore, agree with abortion in the case of Jesus? Because Mary was this young girl, 13, 14, I think, and she got pregnant outside of marriage, impregnated, according to the story, by the Holy Spirit. If you supported abortion at all, you should support the idea of Jesus getting aborted. And whether you're a Christian or not, how would that change history? Extraordinary thought, isn't it? Anyway, Kelly O'Connell, 6:59. Appreciate you tuning in. I think Walt Rubel's showing up, but you never know. He's a crazy newsman. Could be a Dunkin' Donuts, Anyway, we'll be back after the break on the hour and pick it up again. AM Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE, 523 1450 to call in, 805-6180 to text. Be right back.
So many rules, baby. I picked wildflowers and sung you love that song. And every road I took, you knew my search was for the truth. And the storms grew now, won't be your last.
Hey, what's up, man? Welcome back. Good afternoon. Thank you. Hey, Rob, Where do you go camping? What's it like up there? Did you put in for a job up in the oil fields?
No. Well, my best friend said I got an excuse. Well, it was. But that's what the question was.
But I
thought that the oil fields that there were a little bit more terrible. No, in fact, his wife, first time, was working on the oil fields.
So to have RJ on tomorrow. I heard that they were going to drop them and not pick them up again.
Why would that?
Good morning. It's 7:06. It's on the 28th of July, and it's about 75 degrees out today. It's going to be, you know, around 100 degrees, and we've got in the studio, we're glad to have back Walt Rubel, who has been on a vacation, and Walt, I hope you had a good time.
Oh, it was terrific. Went up north to Wyoming and South Dakota. Very cool up there, very rainy, very green, very, very pretty this time of year.
You see a lot of animals?
A few, some deer, and I can't remember if we saw any antelope this time or not. But, yeah, there's some deer right around our campsite, so that's always nice. And
did you feed them a little lead?
No.
Oh, okay. Was it flat? Is it mostly flat country?
No, it's up in the mountains. We went west of Laramie up in the Snowy Range, and You got to look pretty hard to find a flat spot to put the camper.
It's, oh, okay. Yeah. And so you did some fishing?
No fishing. This time of year, it's a little bit too hot. The fish aren't really as active as they are in the spring and the fall. So, no, just relaxing.
Oh, good. Well, good to have you back, and hope you feel recharged.
Oh, yeah. Always nice. And, you know, have good friends up there. I used to live in and work in Cheyenne, Wyoming. So it's always nice to, and I have family in Denver, so I got to see everybody and get reconnected. A nice trip.
Very, very good. Okay, so what's going on in the city?
Well, what's going on in the county? I mean, I leave for a week and there's another $1 million lawsuit against them.
Who's it by?
Well, this one was the Stewart, Deb Stewart. I should.
Yeah. Oh, the one that was just settled.
Yeah. Well, not settled. It was decided by the jury.
Yeah.
They should have settled it for $100,000, and you know, we'd have all been fine. But this is, of course, is following the Jorge Granados lawsuit, where they both are essentially saying the same thing. We got fired for pointing out things that were going wrong in the county. The people who were doing the wrong things didn't get fired. We did.
And that's the claim. Supposedly, RJ, who's coming on the show tomorrow, made the same claim that he was fired after finger pointing.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right.
Well, maybe we should just make whistleblowing illegal in this county.
I have an editorial that's going to run in tomorrow's paper saying that it is possible to get fired at the county. I mean, we hear that all the time. That, oh, you can't get fired once you get You know, once you get hired on there, you're there for life. Well, you can get fired, but it's by pointing out the wrongdoing. It's not by actually doing the wrongdoing.
That's pretty good. That's funny.
It is, except for, you know, I mean, it was $9.5 million in the Slevin lawsuit. It was $500,000 in Granados, I believe. Now it's another $1.2 million. The county just raised taxes because they're telling us that, you know, they need that money. They got to do this, that, the other things. Well, how many roads could they have paved? How many senior centers
could they have? Is this a kitty for lawsuits that they brought in?
I'm sorry, what's the question?
No, are they putting a little pool together to pay off lawsuits?
Well, you know, I know that they, along with every other city and county, are part of the risk management, you know, pool that the state has. And that does mitigate some of this, but it doesn't make it right. I mean, it doesn't...
No, of course it doesn't. And I mean, the fact that there's a lawsuit that's lost seems to suggest it's wrong. Folks, we're talking to Walt Rubel from the Sun News. So what's your reaction when you came back? I mean, are we like just headed in the wrong direction?
Well, I think the thing that frustrates people is that there never seems to be any accountability. I mean, we had this lawsuit, $9.5 million at the detention center. Chris Barella was the head of the detention center then. Is still the head of the detention center now. We've now had two different lawsuits alleging and successfully alleging improper firing. Deb Weir was the head of HR then. Deb Weir is still the head of HR now. At some point, doesn't there have to be some accountability for some of this stuff?
Well, I don't know. I mean,
That's what I'm, and that, you know, I guess it goes on Julia Brown, but I think, you know, the elected officials are the ones that you know, ultimately they're the ones who are going to have to start demanding some accountability.
Well, I mean, it was on Julia Brown. She was the one that fired RJ, but I talked to him, I met with him, and he's going to be coming on the show tomorrow in theory. But he told me that he had never met her before and she couldn't have been more polite and kind, but at the same time, she put the noose around his neck.
Yeah, and so was that her decision?
I can't imagine.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Was she doing the dirty work of the county commission? Or was she doing the dirty work of Lynn Ellens? I don't know. Does he have a theory on that? Or I guess you'll find out when he comes on tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember what he said. Well, I don't want to tip my hand here, but...
Yeah.
But
anyway, I think, you know, and we have Kiki Vigil, the sheriff, telling us that he's looking into more things that are going on out there. So
that's extraordinary. And I ran into Kiki and talked to him, and he said there is so much more going on, and he couldn't talk about it. But he said this is broad and apparently deep number of what do you call them, scandals? Or?
Yeah. So we'll see. But I think, you know, there has been a sense for a long time that things just weren't right there, that especially when you talk to employees and at the newspaper for us, whenever people come to us and tell us stories, but say, you can't use my name or I can't tell you this on the record because, you know, I'll get fired if I do. And when we get those, you know, frequently enough that if it happens every now and then, that's just part of doing business. But when you're getting it over and over and over from people from the same group, and to be honest, we're getting it from two groups. We're getting it from the county and we're getting it from the teachers. Who are telling us that, you know, things are just not being run right. I wish I could go on the record. I wish I could tell you everything that was happening.
What kind of things have you heard about the teachers in terms of mismanagement?
And that's another story, this whole situation with the LEAP program and stand rounds and the school board. But I think the teachers' general frustration is simply the fact that they feel like everything is being micromanaged. Everything is being centered around the test. And that their evaluations no longer reflect what they're doing in the classroom. And that scares them and it frustrates them. They feel like they can do a really, really good job and still get a lousy evaluation and they don't know what to do about it.
Okay. And that's another issue, but, okay, so what's going on with the prosecutions in the county office?
Well, that's the other thing that happened. I was gone a week, and I go through all the papers, and I think, man, I got to write an editorial about this. But the other thing that happened is we had another murder case that was dismissed. This one was the no pants case, the one where the guy was cleaning his car without a shirt on, younger guy, and his older neighbor came out and apparently sent his child over to tell this guy to put a shirt on, and they ended up getting in an argument, and the guy ended up taking his pants off. I guess that'll show him. The younger kid did.
Yeah.
The older guy, and they ended up going from an argument to a fight, which ended up in the younger guy getting a shotgun and killing the older man.
Yeah.
They take it to a grand jury. The grand jury indicts. They're set to go to trial on murder charges, and right before it starts, they drop the charges.
Do you know why?
Well, they said that it was a self-defense case, which is, you know, what the defense was claiming all along. And beyond that, no. And there is another one that we're going to be reporting on here in the coming days that was just a mistake by the district attorney's office. This one was, I think, the third in a row where they said, well, there's new evidence that has come out since. They didn't even say that this time. They just simply said that we think the self-defense argument would have held up, and so we decided to drop the charges. And I guess, you know, D'Antonio got elected on the premise that Susana Martinez and Amy Orlando were overcharging, that all of these cases were getting backed up, that people were rotting in jail without even having a day in court. And I think all of that is true. But that pendulum has swung all the way over to the other side now, where you have guys who look for all the world like they're committing murders, and they're on the verge of going to trial, and the cases are getting dismissed.
And you think this is a trend?
It's certainly a trend. I don't know why. I don't know what's causing it. I don't know if it's incompetence. And that's the thing, is I'm judging this all without being in the courtroom. And so,
could it be a high stakes poker where the state is trying to get a plea out of it?
Well, I mean, there have been so many of these cases where they do get the plea, but the plea is nothing. I mean, the last one we had where the Joe Torres home invasion case, and there were four of them, and it was the Garces kid. His brother ended up getting killed.
Yeah.
And he was going to be tried for murder, and they ended up plea bargaining that down to a misdemeanor. And as they said, it later turned out that he was allegedly saying, well, let's get out of here. Let's be, you know, trying to, I mean, he wasn't doing that at the beginning. He kicked down the door at the beginning, but at some point in the process,
he tried to de-escalate it.
He tried to, is what they said. And maybe that's the case. And I'm not saying that a district attorney shouldn't look at new evidence and shouldn't be open. You know, I mean, certainly we're not saying that once you file the initial charges, you stick with that no matter what. But it seems like when it's happening on case after case after case after case, it makes you wonder. I don't know the answer. I mean, why is he doing that is the obvious question. I don't know the answer.
And I guess what you're saying is you'd like to see some of these cases go forward to find out what really happened and to see if maybe there is a murder there.
Well, there certainly is. And this last case, I just don't get. I mean, there's no question that he took the shotgun and shot him. Now, there is a wide dispute between, you know, his group of witnesses and the other man's group of witnesses as to what took place ahead of time. But yeah, I think that's why we have trials. You put all that evidence before a jury and you let them sort it out.
Well, Kelly O'Connell, and talking to Walt Rubel, and it is 7:17. It's about 75 degrees out today. And it's going to be a high around 100 on the 28th of July. And talking about some of the local stuff going on at the DA's office and also in the county and city, and we'll be right back. Oh, we're going to turn over a few more spadefuls of dirt. 523-1450 to call in. You're listening to AM Las Cruces on 1450 KOBE, 805-6180 to text, and we're going to continue it. Be right back. It's 7:22, and I see here Camille Paglia is comparing Bill Clinton to Bill Cosby, which can't be can't be good for Bill Clinton. But got Walt Rubel here, and Walt, boy, that camping trip sure sounds nice.
Ah, beautiful. Yeah.
What did you guys eat? Did you cook? You cooked over the fire, kind of thing?
Nah. My friend's wife. We ate very well.
Oh,
put
okay.
it that way. Yeah.
All right. What was the temperature at night?
Oh, night. It got a little cool at night. You had to, you know, you had to snuggle up in the sleeping bag a little bit.
So you're up in the mountains.
Right, right.
And what was the closest city or
Laramie,
town?
Laramie,
yeah. How far away?
Oh, probably about 20, 25 miles outside of Laramie.
But it's a, you know, dark at night.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, you're out in the middle of the mountain range.
Cool. That sounds fantastic. Yeah. You do any reading?
Oh, yeah. Quite a bit.
Novel? Did you read?
I'm reading Doris Kearns Goodwin's book
yeah.
about Lincoln, The Team of Rivals.
Yeah. Interesting character. I
just got done reading a book about Custer and Crazy Horse, so I'm stuck in like the 18.
So what was General Custer like?
Very egotistical, very brave, you know, but he took reckless chances, and obviously that's how his life ended. But he was he was constantly after self promotion and was very successful at it
until
the end. Yeah.
Yeah. Was he a Southerner?
He was not. But he was simple. That was the interesting thing. He was at West Point in the days leading up to the Civil War,
mm-hmm.
and was sympathetic to the cause of the South.
Yeah.
But once secession happened, he fought for the Union Army. And then after the war, he was once again sympathetic to the cause of the Democrats, the
Southerners.
The Southerners, right.
Well, that's interesting. Okay, so all right. So in your mind, what are the big stories locally?
Well, we have the municipal election, I think, is going to be very interesting this year. The only person who's announced this thus far is Greg Smith, and he has announced only to run for re-election to his city council post. He's not going to run for mayor, which a lot of people have thought he might. Ken has not announced yet, but everybody is just expecting that he's going to run for mayor, run for re-election again. And I think that has sort of cleared the field. I think Miguel would have run for sure if not for Ken running. Now I'm not sure if he will or not.
Huh. 523-1450 to call in and give your opinion, ask a question, make a statement.
We're planning something a little bit, well, not a little bit new, very new this year, and I hope it works. We're partnering with KRWG, and what we want to do is every year before elections, we bring all the candidates in for each individual race, and the editorial board sits down with them, and we spend an hour going over the issue.
Do you think that the recall election or the attempted recall election hurt those three candidates or mm-hmm. helped them?
I suspect that it helped them, but we'll see. I could be wrong. I think it will mobilize people on both sides.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I called Nathan Small and texted him yesterday to see if I can get him on the show with no response so far, but...
Well, I hope he comes on.
It was good to have Gil Soring on.
Sure. No, I've said this all along. I think Republicans need to talk to Democrats, and Democrats need to talk to Republicans. And I think that progressives need to talk to your listeners.
Yeah.
They need to explain themselves to your listeners.
Yeah, and I think it would, it's not necessarily going to persuade people, but it's at least going to put a logic behind the positions.
And the other thing it does is it gives people an opportunity to ask questions.
Yeah.
And to be honest, you really don't get that chance at city council meetings. I mean,
no,
you can
not
make
at
a
all.
Statement, but you can't say, why did you do this? Or,
yeah.
You know.
And this is the only venue in town, but
it is.
So what is happening with this prosecution or the situation in the county? Where do you think it's going to end up?
I don't know. I this is just my take, and I'm not there every day. So I believe that Julia Brown is doing the best she can. I believe that she's a competent woman. She comes from a solid background, experience of both military and private business.
But, you know, her being sent down to fire RJ does makes it sound like, and I have no knowledge, but it just the image of that makes her sound like a flunky, which you're saying she's not, and I accept the fact that she's not, but it just sounds so bad.
Well, and you know, anybody in that position is always serving at the pleasure of the county commission.
Sure.
And so I think we see in a city with Robert Garza where we do have a strong leader, and he has been able to survive a couple different city councils, and I think there's a general consensus that, that he's a competent guy who's generally doing a good job. And Julia Brown hasn't been there long enough to develop that yet. And so how forcefully she is able to stand up to this county commission, and I just don't know that.
And if you had to say who runs the county commission, is it just clearly
Billy Garrett?
It's his county commission.
I think so. Clearly Ben Rawson is the voice of opposition,
The counterweight.
But I think Billy's the leader.
And, okay, so we got the stuff going on with the DA. We've got the investigation at the county, and we have the election coming up for the municipal race. Anything else going on?
Well, we were talking off the air. I think the most fascinating race coming up in the 2016 election is going to be for district attorney. I mean, you've got Mark D'Antonio, who is, you know, completing his first term, so he is eligible to run again. As we were talking in the last segment, there are a lot of questions about some of the decisions that have been made by that office.
Do you think people are pointing fingers at Mark?
I think you have to. I mean, he is the leader of the office. And so if you have questions about the office, that means you have questions about its leader.
Sure. And I'm very fond of Mark, and he's a great guest. He's the kind of guy, he's the same in private as he is in public.
Yeah.
But if there's controversy in a case at some point, you know,
no, that's right. I mean, it goes to the top, and he is an elected official, so people are free to make judgments.
I have got some good friends at the DA's office that are highly, not just good people, but highly competent.
Yeah.
So, but you're right. I mean, fingers are going to be pointed. So who would run against Mark?
Well, so that's the point. If he gets the Democratic nomination, and I think there's a possibility he could be primary, but we'll assume that...
If he was primaried, what names come to mind?
I don't know. I really don't know. I'm not familiar enough with the law community in this town. I just don't know. But I'm imagining him running against Amy Orlando, and that would be, the most bitter, you know, and B, the most interesting race in the election, at least locally. I mean, we have all of these, you know, concerns that we've talked about Mark, but we also have Amy, where a year or so ago, Mark's office released all of those emails that demonstrated that she was actively working to try to prevent the district attorney's office from being able to get grants and that's, how do you defend that?
How do you spin that?
Yeah, I don't know how. I mean, she wasn't able to, you know, she refused to answer questions, and she sent anything that we asked her, she sent out a statement that dodged the question.
Mm-hmm.
So thus far, she has had no answer for that. And I don't think there is an answer for that.
And do you see her coming back and running?
Well, that's what I'm wondering
about.
If not for that, I don't think there's a question. But now that that's hanging over her head, and she knows that if she runs, she's going to have to answer that question.
So if you pit Mark against Amy again, who wins, in your opinion, all things being equal?
I don't know. Maybe Amy? I mean, this county, I moved here in 2002, and it was obvious to me right away that on all the county ballots, they went Democrat, 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 until it came to the law enforcement stuff, until it came to sheriff and DA.
That's a good point.
Republican, Republican. I think there are a lot of older people living here who public safety is a top priority, the top priority in a lot of cases.
Yeah.
And they want somebody who's going to be, you know, tough on crime, lock them up, throw away the key, that kind of thing. And I think that Amy still has a lot of friends,
She's got a powerful personality. She's
does.
Very smart. She's got a certain charisma. And she could stand up and say, you know, I'm the face of when we did things right around her here. She could make,
And the smartest thing she did, in my opinion, was she took a job in Santa Fe.
Yeah.
Because as long as she was here, she was throwing mud and they were bickering back and forth. And she removed herself from
and
that.
And it made her look smaller.
That's right.
Kelly O'Connell here with Walt Rubel. Very interesting conversations about local stuff. And we've been crying out for more local stuff. We're going to come back and continue on in this vein. You're listening to AM Las Cruces on 1450 KOBE. I'm Kelly O'Connell, 523-1450 to call in. 805-6180 to text. We'll be right back.
Riders on the storm. Riders on the storm.
It's 7:36, and just a ton of news out there, of course. But locally, I think you had mentioned something earlier about the school.
Yeah,
what's going on?
Well, the power struggle, and I think that's the right word for it, that's taking place at the school district right now, to me, has just been fascinating because of all this behind the scenes stuff that is going on. But clearly, what has happened is the last school board before they left, one of the last things they did at their final meeting was to give a contract extension to Stan Rounds. So the new board comes in.
Another Rounds for the house.
There you go. The new board comes in, and they haven't had a chance to get their seats warm when Rounds confronts them with the fact that we are way over budget. We have got to trim millions of dollars.
Were you shocked by that, Alec, that to revelation?
I was. I think everybody was, because there had been no warning flags or nothing ahead of time. We just got done building a brand new high school. We're in the process right now of doing a multi-million dollar renovation to Las Cruces.
And then you hear that the state is threatening to take over the school district. That was jaw-dropping.
Let's put it this way.
They said that was one of the potential options if the school system did not manage its budget, right?
Well, okay. Now, I thought you were talking about this. Yes, that is correct, and that is always a situation. But there was also a situation where they were fighting with the PED over the teacher evaluation.
Right.
And what the school district agreed to was that absences would count as, I think, 10% of a teacher's evaluation. And the teachers came back and said, well, you can't do that. We have negotiated this as part of our union collective bargaining agreement. And so now we are getting penalized for taking absences that we have lawfully negotiated for.
The absences of the teachers or the students?
Of the teachers.
Oh, okay, sure.
Yeah, and the school district, the PED, the Public Education Department, basically said, you will do this or we will take away... I'm sorry, there was somebody looking in your window and he just left.
Was he waving a weapon?
He was not. Anyway, they threatened to take over the district if they didn't back down from that. So, of course, they did back down. The thing that is happening now is that they're telling all the teachers that they're going to have to take a furlough. Once again, that has been negotiated through a contract. And so now the union is going to take the school district to court and say, no, you can't do that.
All right. So what do you blame the budget problem on?
Well, according to Stan Rounds, it was that over the years they anticipated growth that didn't happen, essentially. And so they hired too many teachers. They hired too much staff. They were out of whack. Salary was taking up a far too large percentage of their overall budget. And that's what he claimed happened. And so now we have to make all these cuts. The school board is outraged, rightfully so. And so they want to get rid of Stan Rounds. And I understand that, but they can't because they have no money. He has, I think, 2 or 3 years left on his contract. And so they're trying to find ways. How can we get rid of him?
So you really think they want to get rid of him?
Oh, no question.
And is there a lot of anger towards him or what? The sense that he's incompetent or that he made a mistake or he's unpopular or... I'm not trying to put a spin on this.
Not incompetent.
I really don't know.
I don't think anybody thinks that he's incompetent.
Okay.
He is a guy who works the system, who understands how to take.
Is he a union guy?
No. No.
Is he anti-union? Is he beyond union?
I think he's beyond union.
All right. So he's a heavy hitter.
He came to the school district. His job before that was he was in charge. He was the head guy for all of the superintendents. And so he understands the legislature. He understands state government. He understands how to make all of that
work.
He's
a mover and a shaker.
Exactly. And he has been there longer than I think any superintendent since I came here in 2002.
Is he like Moses?
No, he clearly is not. And so the school, well, where I was going with this is they're trying to find a way to get rid of him. One of the things that Stan did was he took his fiance and made her the head of the LEAP program.
Is she a local cheerleader?
She is not. She is, by all accounts, qualified. I mean, it's not,
Okay.
But the nepotism involved in that has not played well. According to people who work in that school, Stan is spending all of his time there, that any complaints people have about her are met with a deaf ear. I mean, the kind of complaints that you would expect when somebody is looking after their fiance.
Yeah. So the question I'm going to ask you when we come back is, are they going to be able to get rid of him?
Okay. That's the question.
The 900-pound gorilla question. Kelly O'Connell, 741, talking to Walt Reubel, and great to have him back from his little bit. I can sincerely say I'm glad that you were not eaten by a bear.
Well, that makes two of us.
All right, folks, we'll be right back. You're listening to AM Las Cruces on 1450 KOBE. I'm Kelly O'Connell, 523-1450 to call in, 805-6180 to text. We'll be right back.
Into this house we're born.
Well, folks, it's 7:44, and it's going to be a scorcher today. Not everybody got rain last night, but I did. But everybody got lightning, and it was spectacular.
It was
absolutely the lattice, the lightning shots up in the clouds that just shot out like a bunch of fingers at the same time.
Yeah,
that was incredible. And then there were shots on the ground. There were very, very heavy shots that I saw down in the direction of El Paso, just these very big and solid lightning bolts, but it was up in the clouds and everything. So, all right. So the question is, can they get rid of Stan Rounds? You make him sound like a colossus.
Well, I think the answer is no. And I think it's well, because they don't have the money, A, and B, I just get the sense that he is outmaneuvering them at every turn.
You think he's getting a kick out of it?
Well, no. I think he's in survival mode. But the latest example was with the LEAP program that he had put his fiance in charge of. The school district got rid of that program. And in my opinion, they got rid of it to spite him.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they had parent after parent after parent. This was the alternative school program for kids. And one after another said, this was the only program that reached my kid. He was floundering or she was floundering in school. And if you take this away, they're just going to go back to, and the school district listened to that and said, nope, we're going to get rid of it anyway. Well, the PED, the public education department, said, no, you're not, that there are steps that you have to take to get rid of a school. One of them being informing us, and you didn't do that. And so here again, they took what I thought was kind of this petty little thing to try to get back at Stan a little bit, and it failed on him. And so I just get the sense that, Maria Flores is a smart woman. She's the president of the board, but she is not getting the advice from the district because the district is on Stan's side. And so all of the people who know the system and who know how to work it, I think, are at war to some extent with the school board.
Well, that's terrible. I mean, it just to have this internal fighting when they're, one of the issues is a lack of funding.
It is. And I think, on some things they're united. I think on the issue of the absences and the evaluations that Stan supported that. But the thing that Stan did, and this goes back to him being the politician, he went to the legislature this year when Hannah Scandera, the Secretary of Education, was finally up for confirmation. And he spoke out in her favor. Now, Hannah Scandera is the most hated person among teachers in this state.
Mm-hmm.
And, okay, maybe he got a little bit of chits with Governor Martinez for doing that, but he enraged his teachers. And I think from Stan's perspective, okay, I'll take that. Governor can help me. The teachers really can't. I mean, I think that's his.
All right. So, well, and he's in there for three more years. By the way, we want to thank the law offices of Samuel Kane for sponsoring the Kelly O'Connell Show. In pain, call Kane. He's specializing in personal injury. And the number to call there, 575-526-263. That's 526-5263. He will give you a free consultation and let you know if your case has any legs. We're here right now with Walt Rubel. We're going to take a break and come back and finish up picking through the stuff of the city and the county. So 748, you're listening to AM Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE. Kelly O'Connell, 523-1450. 523-1450 to call in, 805-6180 to text in. We will be right back.
Riders on the storm. There's a killer on the road. His brain is squirming like a toad.
Hey, it's Kelly.
Oh, Kelly, hi. Lydia Webster with Las Cruces for Life.
Hey, how's it going?
We're having a protest to defund Planned Parenthood in front of Brannigan Library all day.
Oh, okay.
And a rally at 6 p.m.
Hey, do you want to stay on and announce that on the air?
Okay. I'm sorry I'm nervous, but I'm praying. I'll do it.
Don't be nervous. I'll pray for you, too.
Thanks, Kelly.
I don't think Walt Rubel's going to pray for you, but it's nothing personal. Well, I appreciate you calling, and now that's fantastic timing. I mean, this thing with Planned Parenthood, I can't imagine worse publicity.
Oh, yeah. It's beyond gruesome what they're doing.
Yeah, and it's funny how Planned Parenthood is pushing back. And one of the stories I meant to mention today is that apparently there's a bunch of corporate sponsors that they've claimed on their website for years who've actually said we've never actually given them any money. So
that's right. Ford, Coca-Cola, and Xerox all said just what you said.
All right, so. We'll be back on. Let me put you on hold for just collect your thoughts for 1 second. We'll be right back, okay?
Thank you.
He's personal. It is Kelly here, and we've got a call from a local pro-life group. Thanks a lot. And who is this?
This is Lydia Webster. I'm with Las Cruces for Life.
Lydia, thank you so much for calling in. And you're saying that there's a protest against the Planned Parenthood. What's going on?
Well, today started at 7 a.m. all day. 7 to 7 with a rally at 6 p.m. with speakers and testimony. We're protesting, we're asking the government to defund Planned Parenthood.
Yeah, well,
and,
it's crazy.
We're part of a
the videos are absolutely crazy.
We're part of a national protest called hashtag womenbetrayed.com, and it's statewide as well. We're participating with protests in Santa Fe and Albuquerque.
You got a contact number or a website?
Yes. Womenbetrayed.com. And then, I'm sorry, this is really stupid. I don't have the number in front of me. I can call back in a minute and give it to you.
Yeah, sure. No problem. But I often forget my own number. Don't feel bad. I've actually got
I'll text it to you, and it's the name is Mark. That's the contact person.
Okay. One more time, Lydia, the time and the location of the protest.
Okay. It's starting today, 7 a.m. at Albert Johnson Park in front of Brannigan Library at Picacho and Main.
Okay.
And it's all day with a rally at 6 p.m. with speakers and testimony.
Okay. Thank you so much, Lydia. Appreciate the call. You can call back with the number. All right. So I have Sam Kane in the studio. He's sponsoring the show, and he's got a young member of his family here for the first time. But let me ask you, what do you think? I've got our beloved Walt Rubel is here. What do you think about this Planned Parenthood thing? Do you think that it's just a hoax? Like Planned Parenthood said, it's a hoax video.
It's not a hoax. My understanding is there are two videos put out, one in its entirety. The other one was edited.
They were posted at the same time on the same website, though. I mean, that goes against this idea that it's a fraud video.
Yeah, I don't know why you would put two versions up. I don't know why you wouldn't just.
So
put,
you can prove that it's not.
Right. Why wouldn't you just put the unedited version up and let it stand on its
own? Because you're trying to bring people. It's like anything.
Because you're trying to point out the worst parts. I get it.
Well, I mean, there's a purpose behind everything in life.
Well, right. That's why I'm saying. Yeah. Why would you do
all
that?
Right, let
that's
me ask you.
So
I got to put you on the spot here. Why is the government investing in $500 million per year, more than $500 million, to pay for abortions when our number one asset, the number one asset in any country, is people?
Well, when you say pay for abortions, you're assuming that money is fungible, and you're correct, it is. But as you know, the Hyde Amendment, technically, government doesn't pay for abortion.
Well, I mean, we can dabble with
this. I understand that.
We can,
but the answer to your question is not why aren't they paying for abortions, it's why are they paying this money to Planned Parenthood, and it's because they're doing things other than abortions.
Are they also sterilizing children?
No, they're doing women's health services.
Oh, I keep forgetting.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess having an abortion is family planning or anti-family planning.
Well,